Declaring that America is coming to help, President Barack Obama is authorizing U.S. airstrikes, if necessary, and airdrops of humanitarian aid in northern Iraq.
And when many thousands of innocent civilians are faced with the danger of being wiped out, and we have the capacity to do something about it, we will take action. That is our responsibility as Americans.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In this edition of the Week in Review, we will get our two guests from different perspectives to react to this news and other top stories in the news this week. And we will welcome your reactions and the stories you want to talk about, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Michelle Litchens is a small business owner and a former Republican state representative from Oshkosh. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Louis Fortas is the editor and publisher of the Shepherd Express, a weekly newspaper in Milwaukee, and he is also a former Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Michelle.
So let's get to Louis, you first. What's your reaction to the president authorizing military airstrikes in Iraq?
His very carefully worded statements. I think it's important that we provide humanitarian aid for the group that's trapped on the mountaintop. I think that's real serious. There's 40,000 people, and these are religious minorities, and if they go down, they will be slaughtered by ISIS, the radical Islamic group. And if they stay up on a mountaintop, they will starve or be dehydrated. And so I think it's important to do the humanitarian airdrops, which they are doing as we speak. And then secondly, he was very careful in how he stated it, that we would use force to protect U.S. personnel and facilities. And I think that's very measured. I think that's very reasonable, and I think it's the right thing to do without question.
Mm-hmm. Michelle.
Yeah, I think the president was very calculated in his statements, and I was glad to hear that he said he was going to give aid to those people who are stranded up there on that mountain and hopefully give them some military support. I would love to see them drop them some weapons, you know, some way for them to defend themselves so that they can get down from that mountain. I do think that if he's talking about coming to the aid of those who are being persecuted and being denied food for their religious belief, I'd like to maybe see him do something about the Christians that are currently being killed in the Middle East because of their faith. But I suppose we can start here. But I do think that, again, he was very calculated in saying that he wasn't going to bring American troops over to Iraq. So I'm glad to see the president, you know, standing up and saying what he's saying, because I do believe it is America's responsibility to come to the aid of individuals who are being persecuted by their governments.
Yeah, there have been many airdrops of food and water to tens of thousands of Iraqis on that mountain surrounded by militants. But the Pentagon is also reporting this morning that two F/A-18 jets dropped 500-pound bombs on a piece of artillery and the truck towing it. Apparently, the Islamic militants were firing upon U.S. personnel, so there was a military strike. How concerned are you, if at all, Louis, that this is going to lead to an even, you know, a broader involvement, a military conflict involving U.S. forces in Iraq?
At this point, I'm not particularly worried about that at all, in the sense that I think we're waiting for a change in prime minister. Right now, there's Maliki in there, who is very sectarian, who has created many of the problems that we currently see in Iraq, because he's the one that has isolated the Sunnis and isolated the other groups, and he's a Shia. And so you have a situation where you need somebody who's going to be more inclusive And I think that everybody is now in agreement of that, and Maliki is very slow to be leaving. But he will be leaving, there will be a different prime minister, and I think going forward there should be an easing of this sectarian isolation that has occurred over the last 10 years, and I think Iraq will finally be, it'll be possible for them to be on a path of seeing some real improvement in their democracy.
And do you see it the same way, Michelle?
Well, I do, but I also think that I think ISIS thought that America was gone. You know, we've seen Americans pulled out of the Middle East, and this president has said that he just didn't want to be involved over there anymore. And so I don't think they thought that we were going to get involved and that we were going to protect those that were being persecuted in their country. So I do think by standing strong right now and protecting those thousands of people who are shoved to the top of a mountain to be starved to death, I think that is saying something, and perhaps it is going to ease some of the political tension over there because they know that America has their citizens' backs.
Steve in Madison is with us. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. If memory serves, under the Clinton administration, the U.S. was sending bombing runs that were killing women and children in that same area. So I'm wondering whether either of the guests think that we were in any degree wrong to take out Saddam Hussein, because that then destabilized the entire area there.
Michelle?
I don't know if we can go back there. You know, yeah, I personally wasn't in favor of us going into Iraq when it first started, but we did. It's done, and now we just have to move forward and make the best of it. And I do think that President Obama is doing the right thing right now by sending aid to those individuals who are most in need of it. And hopefully he stands strong with a strong stick and tells ISIS, you better shape up, otherwise we potentially could come in there and take them out too.
Mm-hmm. Lewis?
Yeah, I agree with Michelle. I was against the idea of the war of choice, if you will, by going into Iraq. I thought that was a huge mistake. And I think we made some major mistakes early on in that war. And now I say we're finally, you know, the dust is somewhat settled, and we do have governments there. And right now we just have a prime minister that is a problem. And when that gets changed, I think we will have an opportunity to begin to move in the right direction in Iraq.
Well, let's talk about another international story. The World Health Organization has declared the Ebola outbreak in West Africa to be an international public health emergency that requires an extraordinary response to stop its spread. So, Lewis, what do you think of that?
I think it's all true. It is it's a very serious disease, and I think that right now there is no cure, and you just need to isolate people. And we do have some experimental drugs that appear to have to be working to some extent on the two Americans that have been brought back and who are under treatment. And we don't have a big supply of those drugs, and they're trying to produce more of them. And I think they should be working as fast and as hard as they can to be producing more of them. And I think we should be sending them over to Africa right now. And I know they haven't been tested and they are experimental. But when it's a life and death situation, that if you're not getting these drugs, there's a good chance you'll die. Let's give them the drugs, whether they're going to be effective or not. Let's take that risk. So I do think it's a major issue, and I think I am very pleased to see the World Health Organization as focused as they are on it. So that's good. That is a good response.
Michelle?
Yeah, I completely agree. And on top of that, though, I think we as Americans really need to be aware of who is coming in our country when you see an outbreak like that, and make sure that we are at least working on closing our borders so that the individuals who are coming in can be tested for something like this, especially when we saw two doctors who were assisting these individuals coming down with this virus. That's scary stuff, and we need to do all we can to protect Americans from contracting this disease as well.
What about that, Lewis?
Let me just add one thing. It isn't people, foreigners coming in. I mean, the issue is Americans going out and going to other places, and if anybody's going to be bringing it back, it's going to be Americans coming from, other locations. also where the disease is currently happening. So it isn't, I don't want, the listeners to get the idea that we should start being worried about foreigners coming in and whether, they're going to be diseased. It's going to be, if anyone's bringing it back, it's going to be Americans who went abroad and are coming back. So that's the issue that we have to be concerned about, if anything at all, in that area.
Anything further, Michelle?
He's got a really good point, but we certainly have immigrants come here, and everyone from the world, around the entire world is trying to get into America. So, and we have individuals from these countries certainly trying to get into this country as well. So I just think it's something we need to be aware of to make sure that this isn't something that comes into the United States and becomes a real issue.
Well, we'll move to state politics coming up with our primary election coming up next week at the conclusion of our series of candidate forums on this program and on Central Time. We'll take a look at some of the key races around the state, and we'll take a look at some new developments in the race for governor as well. And we'll welcome the issues that you want to talk about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today to Michelle Litchens and Louis Fortas. And with you, if you would like to talk about the top issues in the news this week, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The Government Accountability Board predicts turnout for Tuesday's primary election to be 15.15%. Among the contests include a Democratic primary for governor, attorney general, and also a hotly contested Republican congressional race in the 6th district, among many others. What race is at the forefront of your radar, Michelle?
Well, I live in the 6th congressional district, so that one obviously we're paying a lot of attention to. But I have to agree that I don't think there is a large statewide high-profile primary going on. I mean, obviously, attorney general should be a motivating factor for Democrats to get out, but that's usually not the race that people pay the most attention to. Obviously, Mary Burke isn't seriously challenged by Brett Halsey. So when they're talking about the numbers, especially with the timing, August, folks are gone on vacation. They're getting ready to go back to school. I don't think they're always paying attention to the fact that a primary is around the corner. And up here, I've been talking to folks who still haven't made up their mind on who they're going to vote for in the 6th congressional primary, and a lot of people weren't even aware that the primary was coming up around the corner. So I think that 15% is probably a good estimate of what we're going to see on the 12th.
Yeah, well, Michelle, just on the 6th, what's your want to handicap that one for us?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I do hear most people, I mean, I know Senator Joe Lieberman was out in Oshkosh just a few days ago knocking on doors. Glenn Grothman has been up here quite a bit as well. And I hear most people talking about either of those candidates. Mm-hmm. I think Dewey Strobel might have hindered himself a little bit with some of his negative ads that he started running early. I don't think people appreciated hearing those as much. So, but unfortunately, I just couldn't tell you who's going to come out on top of that one.
Yeah. Well, Louis, you want to comment on the 6th, or do you have another one you're watching? Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong button, Louis. Start over.
Okay. I was curious to see what Michelle would say about the 6th. Yeah, I think that's going to be a very a close race. The thing that is so important about that primary is whoever wins that primary is the congressman, and you're going to be basically congressman as long as you want to be, because that district is very safe Republican, and will continue to be probably for the rest of the political lives of whoever wins that election. So it's really, really an important election, and that should develop some turnout. But when you really look at the situation in the bigger scheme of things, and I think Michelle is right that it probably will be, close to the 15% that's predicted by the GAB. If there was a 15% turnout in Afghanistan or Iraq, where we've been working to, strengthen democratic institutions, we would consider ourselves, you know, and our efforts in those countries a complete failure. And here we are back in our home state, and we can't get more than a 15% turnout. That's pretty sad. Now, there are a number of other, you know, primaries, as you pointed out, Joy. And there's a lot of the smaller elections. There's six state senators or more, at least, that are, you know, giving up their seats for a variety of different reasons. And so there's going to be some of those areas are going to have some contested primaries. In Milwaukee area, there's two very distinguished state legislators, assembly people that are leaving, Sandy Pasch and John Richards. John Richards obviously is running for attorney general. And those are there are very highly contested primary races there. Because, again, whoever wins those primaries will be the state representative. So it may be slightly higher than 15, but we're talking about maybe 16 or 17 at best. But I think the 15, I regret to say, is probably very accurate.
Yeah, and Mary Burke does not face a serious challenge from Brett Halsey, Lewis?
No, absolutely not. And for the Democrats, it's the attorney general race. It's a, you know, it's a fairly contested attorney general race.
Yeah, and
John Richards and Susan Happ and Ishmael Ozan. That's going to be an interesting race.
Well, you know, back to the sixth, Michelle, you're in Oshkosh. What do you make of Mark Harris, the Winnebago County executive, the Democrat in that race? No chance in November for that's not going to be even close?
I'm sure Mark is going to go out there and work hard, but I just don't think that his political philosophy is going to attract voters from the 6th Congressional District. The 6th District is definitely more conservative, and Mark Harris is not. He has a record now, not only when he was county executive of Winnebago County and forcing through union contracts before Act 10 was ratified, and what he did on the Oshkosh City Council as well. So, I just think that's something that the voters are going to have to take a look at, and I'm sure he's going to work very hard at this, but I just believe that his political philosophy is not going to agree with most of the voters in the 6th Congressional District.
There's a race, we haven't talked much about this on this program, not thinking it's a statewide race. We've talked all the statewide races or federal races during our candidate forums, but some Democrats in Milwaukee County, according to a liberal blog, Blogging Blue, received a mailer in their mailboxes from former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, who encouraged Republicans in Milwaukee County to cross over and vote as Democrats to help Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark beat his real Democratic opponent on August 12th. Lewis, is Sheriff Clark in some danger of losing this primary?
Well, many of us hope so. Sheriff Clark is a Republican who runs as a Democrat, he's worked with Karl Rove as his advisor. He's been very close to the very conservative talk show people, the Charlie Sykes, the Mark Bellings. He's been highly, highly critical of he's an African American. He's been very critical of all the African American legislators. He's kind of has a bias against many of the African American legislators, and so 4 years ago, Chris Mays, Milwaukee police lieutenant, ran against him, but got in the race quite late and lost by, it was a 53-47. I think this year Chris Mays has gotten in the race at a reasonable time. I think he's run a very good campaign. I think people are beginning to just get kind of tired of David Clark and all of his kind of theatrics and that they refer to him as kind of a drama queen. But he's costing us a ton of money in terms of creating lawsuits creating circumstances where there's lawsuits and then the taxpayers have to pay for it. I think people are just getting tired of David Clark, and I think there's a very, very good chance that he will lose.
The blogger writes, the fact that Tommy Thompson has been enlisted to help prop up Sheriff Clark's flagging reelection campaign by encouraging Republicans to vote as Democrats on August 12th speaks volumes about how much trouble the Clark campaign is in headed into the August 12th primary. Michelle, you're obviously not in Milwaukee County, but David Clark is a national figure. Is you want to weigh in on, sure, on this race?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's unusual for Wisconsinites to cross over. I mean, in November elections, you'll often notice Republicans and Democrats winning statewide. That is not unusual here. So the fact that Republicans, they don't have anyone to vote for in their Republican primary, and they want to go out and support David Clark, I think they have every right to do so. And if you ask David Clark if he's a Republican or a Democrat, he's pretty quick to tell you he's a Democrat. So, but he might be fighting the establishment, the Democrat establishment, especially the judicial system in Milwaukee County that continues to put our criminals back out on the streets. And because he does that, you know, a lot of Democrats write him off because he is not walking in step with the Democrat establishment. He actually wants to fix the problem there. Unfortunately, he can't do more in the city of Milwaukee, and I really wish that he could. But I think he is in a fight. I think it's great that Mays just came out and said that he doesn't want to assist the federal government when it comes to identifying criminal illegal immigrants that are here. So, I mean, I think that's going to hurt him in the long run. But I do think that David Clark is in a fight, and hopefully he is going to prevail on the 12th.
This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today to Michelle Litchens, a small business owner, former Republican state representative from Oshkosh, and Louis Fortas, the editor and publisher of the Shepherd Express, a weekly newspaper in Milwaukee, and also a former Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you want to talk about an issue in the news this week, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. All right, we did have...
Can I respond to the last statement that Michelle made?
Sure.
Okay. You know, as you pointed out, Michelle is not in Milwaukee, and so we can't expect her to understand what's going on here. This idea that Milwaukee lets criminals back out in the street or whatever is so naive. It's the kind of the political line that is going around among some people, and it's absolute silliness. This idea of what Chris May said about the illegal immigrants, is the idea is there is a federal government that deals with immigration, and there are also immigrants that are witnesses in crimes and that are going to be afraid to come forward if they...
We lost Louis for some reason, so we'll have to call him back. Let me give our numbers, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You know, while we get Louis Fortas back, Michelle Litchens, let me have you weigh in on the attorney general race. Louis already kind of talked about it. This features Jefferson County District Attorney Susan Happ, Dane County DA Ishmael Ozon, and State Representative John Richards of Milwaukee. The winner will face Waukesha County DA Brad Schimmel in November. Your thoughts on this race, Michelle?
I think it is going to be a close race. I know those candidates are out there working hard as well. I mean, if the voters decide to go with Ishmael, I think that you are going to see a very easy win for Brad Schimmel, just because he seems to be the most extreme of the Democrat candidates out there. But, I mean, again, I think a lot of it is going to have to do with turnout and what area of the state. There's a primary down in John Richards, you know, Assembly District that's going to turn up more voters that are familiar with him and turn up his voter turnout. And I think that's just going to have a strong effect around the state where the primaries are happening, because obviously if you don't have a local primary going on in your area, the chances that you're going to turn out for a primary at all are even less.
Yeah. While we were getting you back on the line, Louis, we had Michelle sort of handicap the race for Attorney General. You touched on it before. What do you make of what she has to say there?
I just caught the last part of what she had to say. I think there are three good candidates. The newspaper, endorsed John Richards. We've had a long history of seeing what he's been able to do as the state legislator, and we think Susan Happ is very good, and Ishmael has not run a campaign that has touched Milwaukee very much, so we haven't seen much of him. But I think it's going to be a close race, but I do think John Richards will win the race, and I think it'll be a very, very contested election in November.
Well, let's talk a little bit. We will, by the way, be talking more about the primary election on our state capitol report on Monday. We'll have a Kevin Kennedy from the Government Accountability Board talking with us about what we need to know in terms of voting on election day or the rules of primary voting and that sort of thing. One thing for sure, we will not have to show a photo ID on primary election day. A judge postponed further action on that voter ID law until, I think, August 19th. Just a quick reaction, Louis Fortas, on the ongoing court saga of voter ID in Wisconsin.
Well, I think the voter ID is a very serious issue. I don't think there's voter fraud. There was a study by both our Democratic district attorney and at that time the Republican federal U.S. attorney. Together they came to the conclusion there was no systematic voter fraud. These voter ID laws are being promoted by groups like ALEC, the right-wing national organization that comes up with, quote, sample legislation for conservatives. And so these voter ID laws are going throughout the country where there are Republican-controlled legislatures. And the idea is basically to tap down the voter participation among certain populations. And these are people that don't have easy access to ID cards, exactly. They're elderly people, poor people, people of color. And again, what we are spending millions and hundreds of millions of dollars around the world to promote democracy and encourage participation in the democratic system, places like Wisconsin that are passing voter ID laws are trying to do the exact opposite. And that's really sad to see.
Yeah, the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals gave opponents of the law until August 19th to respond to J.B. Van Hollen's request to lift an injunction blocking the photo ID requirement. Do you think, Michelle, that we'll have photo ID, voter ID for November?
I'm not exactly sure if we'll have it through the court system by November, but this is something that Americans want. I mean, overwhelmingly, voters want this in the state of Wisconsin. They believe in the integrity of the system. And honestly, if we didn't have absentee ballot and early voting, I would support dipping your finger in purple ink like you do in other countries just to guarantee that each person only votes one time and to guarantee the integrity of the system. But I am proud that J.B. Van Hollen is defending this law, and especially with the Wisconsin Supreme Court really guaranteeing that you can have a free ID. If you can't afford it, if you don't have a birth certificate, that's all right. We're just going to give you an ID so it won't cost anyone anything, because we were learning that this really was becoming a problem for elderly individuals who were born at home that were having a problem getting a copy of their birth certificate. So with Rogensack kind of taking that out of the mix and the United States Supreme Court upholding other voter ID requirements in other states, I really do see this becoming law in the future. I just don't know if it's going to make it there by November.
Speaking of the courts, more John Doe documents into aides of then-Milwaukee County Executive Scott Walker are expected to be released today. They do not include any emails, just documents, photos, Word files, and spreadsheets. So, anything of substance going to be here, Louis, or is this just a big yawn?
We'll see. I have no idea. I guess we'll see what comes out.
Michelle?
You know, this to me just gives the media another opportunity to to just get their feathers ruffled and just oodle over ripping Scott Walker publicly in the news. That's what they did last time. I mean, obviously, he was not found guilty of anything, and so they're not going to find anything that is going to slander Scott Walker, you know, in this round of documents that are released. But I am sure you're going to read about this nationally, just because it's another opportunity for the media to pounce on Scott Walker. And I think it's always important to remember, and it probably won't be reported, that Scott Walker asked for this investigation when he was county executive. And they don't seem to report that this was something he asked for. Someone found money missing in his office, and so he asked for the investigation to happen, and he was doing his job. But I do see that we are going to see the media pounce on the governor yet one more time.
Well, you know, there has been a number of stories in the national media this week, including the Washington Post, Politico, The Hill. Lots of, for instance, The Hill changed the grading of Wisconsin's gubernatorial race from leans Republican to toss-up. Washington Post and Politico are looking at the polls and the ads and saying, hey, Governor Walker has reason to be worried here. What's your reaction to this, Michelle?
I think this is going to be a close race. I mean, Wisconsin will vote for a Republican governor, and they'll vote for President Obama. So we're a very, very purple state. But when it comes down to it, they will make a choice whether they like the direction we're going in today or if they want the direction that we were going in when Governor Doyle was there, where we were consistently losing jobs. I mean, the governor is doing all that he can in the economy that we have, and we are moving forward, and we have created over 100,000 jobs in the state. People have a positive view of the state of Wisconsin. We are doing better than many surrounding states. We are certainly doing better than Illinois right now, and obviously where they're controlled by all Democrats, so I don't think Wisconsin wants to go in that direction, but it's going to be a very close race. We are going to see many, many ads between now and November. A lot of money is going to be spent in Wisconsin. I mean, the unions have pledged millions and millions of dollars that Scott Walker is the number one person they want to take out nationally. And so we are going to see a lot of money spent in the state of Wisconsin over the next couple months. But I do believe Wisconsin, in the end, is going to choose the direction Scott Walker is going in, and they are going to reelect him.
Lewis.
Okay, a number of things have happened. One is Nate Silver, the statistician who became the political prognosticator.
There we go.
There you go, yes. He has now said that Wisconsin is 1% more Democratic. So, you know, 1%, I mean, there's statistical noise going on there a little. So, I mean, it's pretty much a dead heat, which no one expected. And I think the big issue is you have Mary Burke, who is a very, very strong candidate, and she's, you know, she's the real thing. I mean, she's a businesswoman. She's very, very bright. She's very, very capable. And she is the dealing with the issue that I think is most critical to people, and that is the whole jobs issue. And Scott Walker chose to make his 2010 election based on this promise that I will create 250,000 jobs over the next 4 years. He's created, as Michelle just pointed out, about 100,000. And Michelle said that he's doing everything he can. The answer is no, he's not doing everything he can. You know, basically Economics 101, who many of your listeners had a course in economics, understand that when the private sector is not investing and not expanding, you need the government to step in and to kind of kickstart things. And there were opportunities. Scott Walker turned away, I think it was $810 million for a high-speed rail system. Now, that would have created private sector jobs. Government workers don't build, you know, track and don't build trains. I mean, those are private sector jobs. We had a Spanish company move to Milwaukee to start producing these trains. And Scott Walker got elected and killed that whole thing. There's the Medicaid expansion. Federal government would have paid for Medicaid expansion in this state. Most states took advantage of that. Scott Walker didn't. So that's hurting our There are medical jobs that would have been created had we accepted this Medicaid money. So, no, there are a number of opportunities that Scott Walker rejected that would have created jobs. So he is making himself very responsible for the number of jobs created, and he's failing. He's at about 40%. Now, if you take any kind of test and you get a grade of 40%, tell me, I'd like to hear the argument that that's a passing grade or that's a good grade. It isn't. It's failure. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, Mary Burke is simply pointing out the fact that he made the promise and he's failed at what he promised. And that promise is what got him elected in the first place.
This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Louis Fortas, the editor and publisher of The Shepherd Express, and Michelle Litchens, a small business owner. And you. We will talk about more of the top issues in the news this week coming up after this break. And we will also have our Week in Review quiz question. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to The Week in Review, and it's time now for our Week in Review quiz. There's a new statue outside Lambeau Field. Which Packers tradition does it commemorate? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 5 minutes to call in your answer. We'll randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers and announce the answer and the winner at the end of the program. Well, speaking of the Packers, let's talk a little bit about former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. The Packers announcing this week that he will be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame and have his jersey retired next summer, July of 2015. Favre, of course, retired from the Pack 6 years ago and then didn't want to retire, then went to play for the New York Jets and then the Minnesota Vikings. So a quick react, Michelle. Time to honor Favre or not so fast?
You know, the longer we wait, the less sour people feel about Brett Favre, right? Because we loved him so much, and then he left us. But asking my teenage son about this question, he actually said that because Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl, that people are kind of getting over it. And then I also heard about Brett Favre's acceptance video, you know, speech. Mm-hmm. The boys both said that they thought that that was very moving, and that once you watch that video, you are going to believe and get excited again about Brett Favre. And so I think a lot of Packers will definitely be excited about him being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So, Louis, have you forgiven Brett Favre, or don't you care?
Well, I think he was a great quarterback, and I think Green Bay has this extraordinary skill of hiring just superb quarterbacks, and he was one of them. And they have another one right now, and they've had ones before. And so, no, I think the guy was going through like a midlife crisis. So you got to cut him some slack. But I do think he was a great quarterback, and I think he deserves to be there.
And by the way, the Packers' first preseason game of the season is tomorrow night against the Tennessee Titans. Gosh, football already. let's get back to issues in the news and politics. President Obama signed a $16 billion bill to build more VA medical facilities and hire more doctors and nurses, allow some veterans to get health care in private facilities, and the bill also makes it easier to fire or discipline senior VA officials. So will this be enough to solve the problems at the Department of Veterans Affairs, Louis, first?
I think it's a really good start. I think what it also is a very good start at. It was a good bipartisan bill. I mean, the two houses worked together on it. Bernie Sanders from the Senate and I forgot the gentleman who was the head of the committee in the House. Who is a Republican, Sanders is a Democrat. They worked together on this. It was, you know, that was a thing that, first of all, it was an important issue, a real important issue. because we do have to take care of the veterans, and we weren't doing a good job. And there were the cover-ups, which I think is inexcusable and criminal, when people were making up things to, you know, to cover their tails. But I think the thing that was most heartening to me is I saw the way the legislature used to work and the Congress used to work, and that was heartening to see the possibility of maybe we're moving slowly back in that direction.
Michelle?
Yeah, I think they are definitely moving in the right direction. I did find it interesting that they took the single-payer system, which was not working for the veterans' hospitals, and they are introducing the free market so that some of their the veterans can, you know, pursue a doctor outside of the network. I think that was a great first step on making it a little bit more competitive so that people have that choice if they want to see a doctor inside the network or out. I also find it interesting that they employed some of the things that we did with Act 10 in the state of Wisconsin by making it easier to fire bad employees. When you have to keep bad employees there, the, you know, customers are going to receive a poor service. So I was very glad to see that they made that change. And again, they, Congress can work together when they're all trying to work in the same direction and when the governor or the president is willing to accept some changes, especially these, you know, free market changes, which anyway, I think is wonderful for the veteran benefit system.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson says he plans to appeal the dismissal of his lawsuit challenging rules that he calls that call for congressional members and their employees to seek government-subsidized health insurance through small business exchanges. Is this worth appealing, Michelle?
I definitely think it is, and I do think he is standing. Although the judge said he wasn't injured, he is part of that system. You know, the president has overstepped his bounds. The courts have told him 13 times that he exceeded his authority. I think this is another time that he did that, and I really hope that Senator Johnson is successful in this lawsuit.
Lewis?
First of all, Senator Johnson will not be successful in this lawsuit because it's basically frivolous, and his Republican colleagues aren't jumping to sign up along with him. There's no majority in, you know, either house that is saying, you know, this is a great thing, let's do it. They think it's just a grandstanding kind of interference. We're trying to, you know, move forward on other issues. Here's the situation. The people who are working for Senator Johnson and all the other people in Congress, there's some really highly skilled and trained people. These are lawyers, PhDs. These are very well-educated people who could go out in the private market and make more money in most cases, and they would have at least the quality health care that they're getting now. Whether they're getting the health care that they've had before Obamacare or whether it's going to be through the exchanges and whether they're going to be subsidized by the government, is definitely subsidized by the government. They work for the government. And these are people, again, that if they left the government, they would get jobs that probably have better health care plans. It's a silly lawsuit, and that's why people are not jumping behind him and rallying behind him, because it's just frivolous.
Representative Steve King, a Republican from Iowa, said this week that Republicans should take a serious look at impeaching President Obama if he uses executive action to expand deferrals for illegal immigrants. King said that if Obama moved ahead with an order to prevent the deportation of illegal immigrants amid the border crisis, that lawmakers would be forced to act. Michelle, do you think that King's position on impeachment is right or going too far?
Well, I think what he is saying is accurate, and like I just said, the courts have told the president that he has overstepped his authority 13 times. This is just another one of those times. I do hear Democrats talking more about Republicans wanting impeachment than Republicans actually talking about that. But and I don't think you're going to see any impeachment action out there until the general public would support such a concept. But, I mean, the president is obviously clearly overstepping his authority. He should not be allowed to do that. He has restrictions within the Constitution, yet he continues to choose to do so. So I wish there were some sort of action, but obviously the public would not be supporting that at this time. And so I think you see very, very few Republicans actually talking about impeachment.
Lewis?
the speaker, John Boehner, is running away from King as quickly as he can. He has no interest in pushing impeachment because, again, it's foolishness. And I just want to correct something that was stated by Michelle, and that is President Obama has issued fewer executive orders than most recent presidencies, less than George W. Bush, less than Clinton, less than Reagan. So this idea that he's overstepping and he's doing all this stuff, if he's overstepping, then these folks like George W. Bush and Clinton and Reagan, if he's overstepping, what have they done? So, you know, we need to understand what's going on here and not just pick up little phrases and go with them. You know, there is no massive overstepping.
Joy, if I could, the courts have found that he has overstepped. The courts did not find that President Clinton and George Bush did the same. So I think there's a big difference here.
Well, they didn't take it to court.
Well, let me one quick last question here for both of you. U.S. Senator Pat Roberts has defeated his Tea Party-backed challenger, Milton Wolf, in Kansas's Republican primary. What's the state of the Tea Party, Lewis?
I think what happened was the establishment Republican Party was kind of taken by surprise by this Tea Party thing, which was kind of an odd creation, but we don't have time to go into that. But I think now they're kind of getting their bearings, and they're coming back against the Tea Party, and they've been basically winning most of the challenges when it comes down to a Tea Party person versus a traditional Republican. You saw that recently in Mississippi. So I think that it's just they're beginning to kind of get their bearings back and get their footing back, and I think that the Tea Party is on the decline.
Michelle?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the Tea Party that's on the decline, but you are finding voters across the country electing or choosing a primary candidate that they believe is going to win in November, which is something I don't think they were as successful at doing in 2012. The Tea Party just isn't really an organized organization. You have Tea Party members supporting Wongard, and you have Tea Party supporters supporting Stites, you know, down in the 21st Senate race right now. So I don't necessarily know if the Tea Party is something that's falling to the wayside, but I definitely think it's not an organized movement anymore as much. But I do think that also says nationally that the voters are becoming smart and they want to make sure that the Republican that they vote for in the primary is the same person that's going to be successful in November, and I think they're doing that.
So time to congratulate Tim in Wrightstown. He's our Week in Review quiz winner. We asked which Packers tradition is honored by a new statue outside Lambeau Field unveiled this week. So, Michelle, you know what it is, don't you?
Actually, I don't. I'm curious.
Lewis, do you know?
I was going to defer to Michelle. No.
That's funny. It's the Lambeau Leap. It's the bronze sculpture was unveiled this week. It pays tribute to the post-touchdown celebration of a player jumping into the stands behind the end zone after a touchdown. Leroy Butler is credited for starting the move in 1993 when he jumped into the stands after scoring a touchdown against the Raiders. He says it just sort of happened. So anyway, you can get your picture taken doing a Lambeau leap at this statue outside Lambeau Field. Again, the Packers open up the preseason play tomorrow night against Tennessee in Nashville. So are the Packers going to go to the Super Bowl, Lewis?
Yes.
Michelle?
Actually, I've been hearing they have a great team this year, so hopefully that's exactly where they go.
Thanks a lot to both of you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Thanks, Joy, and thank you, Michelle.
Lewis Fortas and Michelle Litchens. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.